I'm pretty confident talking into a mic. Hey, I'm doing it right now. But home projects, I second guess everything. Is that noise normal? Is that water damage? Who do I even call? That's where Thumbtack comes in. Just upload a photo or voice note, and it uses AI-powered search to match you with the right top-rated local pro. So instead of guessing, you get clarity and can hire with confidence. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
And now, the Scores draft coverage continues. On day three, here's your host, Rami Makhlouf, on Sports Radio 104.3 The Score, and live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, that's me, with you until 3 o'clock, breaking down and keeping up with the NFL draft, and of course, with a Bears angle on it, I am Rami Makhlouf. David Dykstra on the other side of the glass. David, our first time working together. How are you this afternoon, young man?
Living the dream, Rami, living the dream.
Outstanding. Welcome to the team, and we got a jam-packed show for you this afternoon. Chris Emma, who of course covers the Bears for us here at The Score, he'll be here at about 12:20, 12:25. Also, Trevor Maddich, who covers NFL and college football for ESPN and NBC Sports, will be here at 2 o'clock, and we will take a whip around the NFC North, check in with some of our friends in Detroit, in Green Bay, in Minnesota, in between those guys. And when I'm not talking to them, I want to talk to you, the Score listener, the Bear fan. Get your thoughts on what the Bears have done thus far in the NFL draft. 312-644-6767 is how you can get in on the conversation. Give me a call, drop me a text. That's 312-644-6767. And I am live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I'm going to put a disclaimer or a grain of salt that you should take everything I'm about to say with here on in the next 3 hours about this Chicago Bears draft. All right. One, I'm not just reacting to the draft. I'm reacting to the offseason thus far as a whole. Okay, that includes free agency. Obviously, no trades of significance have been made. But my reaction to what I've seen so far in the draft is in the context of everything that I've seen so far in the offseason. And two, I know this is all speculative, okay? I understand that. People are going to tell me I need to be patient. I need to see how this plays out. I don't really know. And yeah, I know all of that. And I'm amazed sometimes that I have to explain that all discussions around sports are either reacting to things we have seen or speculating on things we are yet to see or some combination thereof. Okay, so just to sort of set the table and like I said, put a disclaimer or tell you what grain of salt you should take. Everything I'm going to say here and everything that you're going to hear here in the next 3 hours, there it is. All right, there it is. Now we all understand the context in which this conversation is about to take place and which you can take part in at 312-644-6767. And just a quick nutshell paraphrase of what I'm about to say, I'm not happy. How about you? 312-644-6767 if you want to get in on the conversation before I check in with Chris Emma coming up here at about 12:25. And when I say I'm not happy, That is not an indictment or a knock or how I feel about any one of the guys that the Bears have taken in the draft this year. I did like the Dylan Thienemann pick. If you were listening to our night one draft coverage with myself, Ant Heron, Judson Richards, we went around the horn when the Bears were on the clock there at 25, and it was unanimous. We all wanted Dylan Thienemann. So I was happy with that pick. If there wasn't like a plug-and-play, day one, NFL-ready pass rusher on the board at that point, and you had a guy as dynamic and as highly touted, as highly rated as a Dylan Thienemann, I was 100% okay with that pick. But day two, man, and the way that this thing is falling right now, I just don't understand what they're doing. And again, that doesn't mean that I don't like Logan Jones or Sam Roush or Xavion Thomas. And all three of those guys are going to be playing in Ben Johnson's offense, and I have a high level of faith in Ben Johnson and that he will develop those guys and he will put those guys in a position to succeed in his offense. If there is one issue I would take with all three of those picks, if you believe like the draft experts, the guys who do this in the media and aren't doing it for a living in NFL front offices and coaching staffs, you could argue all three of those guys were a reach in terms of where the Bears took them. Logan Jones, the center out of Iowa, was taken in round two at the 57th pick. I checked multiple, you know, draft breakdowns and analysis and assessments. Every one of them had him as like a third, fourth round grade, somewhere around the 100th best player in this year's draft. Sam Roush, the tight end out of Stanford. They took him in round three at the 69th pick. Again, consensus was he was a late third, early fourth round type of talent, and around the, like, between the 80th and 100th overall best player in this draft. So that's not too much of a reach. But Xavion Thomas, and again, the speed is intriguing. He seems like a really fun dude, good personality to have in that locker room. But they took him round three, 89th overall. The Beast draft guide from Dane Brugler and The Athletic had him as a seventh round pick and 260th overall best player in the draft. And ESPN had him as the 222nd overall best player in the draft. And the Bears will pick today in the fourth round at 129, fifth round at 144, seventh round at 239, and at 241. So we'll see what they do there, and we will keep you updated on what the Bears do there. Right now, we are waiting on the Cowboys, who are on the clock at 114. And like I said, Bears are at 129. So we're 15 picks away from the Bears and their next pick here in the fourth round. But like I said to start, I don't have a huge problem with any of those guys on their own or even where the Bears took them, even having said that they seem like a bit of a reach based on the draft analysis that we have access to. But the Bears have obviously, and every NFL front office, their own draft analysis, their own rankings, and where they have these guys graded and where they think they can fall. And that can differ from what we see in the media and the various places that we have access to going and checking out how these guys are rated and where they fall. But my major issue is, and want to hear from you, I'm not pleased, are you? 312-644-6767 is how you can get in on the conversation, is in the context of the offseason as a whole. This draft doesn't exist as in a vacuum. My issue is with the offseason as a whole, and you have now gone through the first wave of free agency and the first 2 days of the draft pretty much only addressing needs that they created themselves or not addressing needs at all. You let Byard and Brisker walk, and you went and signed Kobe Bryant and drafted Thienemann. So you created a need at safety and then addressed that need. You cut Edmonds, then went and signed Bush. You created a need at linebacker and then addressed that need. You traded DJ Moore and then drafted Xavion Thomas. You created a need at wide receiver and then addressed that need. And oh yeah, I thought we signed Khalif Raymond to be the speedster, number three wideout, and returner for this football team. So that was a need that you already addressed, and now you addressed it again at wide receiver. You took Jones after trading for Garrett Bradbury. Once again, a need we thought you addressed, and then you addressed it again. You took Sam Roush, even though you have Colston Loveland and Cole Kmet locked in as your two top tight ends, and you let Durham Smythe walk, so if there was a need at third tight end, you created that and then addressed it. And still have done nothing to address the defensive line, which was their biggest weakness, their biggest need, and I think, personally, got weaker letting Andrew Billings walk and then adding Neville Gallimore, James Lynch, and Kentavious Street. I think you got worse on the defensive line. And I understand, and we're going to hear from Ryan Poles throughout the show today, clips and cuts from what he's had to say here from the last couple of days. And he's going to say, and I think Chris Emma, based on what I saw from him on social media, he might agree, and a lot of people might agree, with the tactic or the thought process of going best player available. I personally think there are two types of teams, two types of roster that should strictly be best player available. And that's teams like kind of where the Bears were last year, even though we were in year four of Ryan Poles, we were in year one of Ben Johnson. And that's like where you're rebuilding or resetting, you're starting over, and you might have to get guys at positions you already have, because the guys who you already have might not fit what you're trying to do. So that's one end of the spectrum where I feel like you should be strictly best player available. Or if you're so good and so established, an NFL playoff team and a Super Bowl contender, that you don't really have major needs. You don't really have major holes to plug. And so you can afford to go best player available. The Bears are neither of those. The Bears right now don't fit either of those descriptions. The Bears are an emerging playoff team / Super Bowl contender. The window for Super Bowl contention just opened up. And it's a roster that is good, that is competitive, as they showed us last year, but a roster that still has some major needs and some major holes. If they hit on their day two picks, they'll have their starting center for 2027 and beyond. They'll have a number three tight end, maybe even a number two tight end when the day comes that they part ways with Cole Kmet. And you'll have a special teamer who could take, you know, the number two spot down the line, like I said. And you'll have a new return man who can eventually be the number three wide receiver. So that's all good. Those are all good things to have somewhere down the line. But I'm focused on this year, man. Like I said, the Super Bowl window just opened, and I was looking for the Bears to open that window even wider, get even better this offseason on paper, and make an even better run at the playoffs, a deep playoff run, and get in the conversation of Super Bowl contenders in 2026. And again, as a whole, this offseason, I don't see how or where they've done that. I personally don't see, and this was my point throughout free agency and the way that they handled that, I don't see one position on this field, on the Bears depth chart. And if you think I'm wrong, please correct me at 312-644-6767, where the Bears are all that much better. And the one place where they were the worst, see, I didn't think the secondary was a real problem. I thought the secondary was actually kind of a bright spot, especially the safety position, but even cornerback I thought was pretty good, especially when it comes to the turnovers. Now, were there leaks in coverage? Yeah, there were. But you were also asking guys to cover guys for, you know, 4, 5, 6 seconds, which find me a secondary that can do that consistently. You needed to address the defense. We all knew that the number one need, the number one hole for this Bears defense was on that defensive line and everything that you ask a defensive line to do. They were 27th ranked in run defense. They were 31st in total pressure. And Ryan Poles last night was asked twice about the defensive line. And here is one of his answers to the question of why not use one of these picks to address your defensive line. Do we have that, David? Ryan Poles on the defensive line and not using
it's
any of the draft
part
picks?
Of our there offense. It is. And it's...
Right, it seemed like defensive line may have been a need coming into this draft. Was it a situation where you guys just didn't view it the same way as quite the as big a need, or the board just didn't go that way?
Yeah, the board, the class, a little bit, this is, you know, a little life at the back of the round. It's different. But it's really how the board, you know, shook out. You know, when we made that turn into two, we had a good sense through our research that was going to kind of be a hot spot at the very top of two. Wasn't really possible to get up that high without giving up a ton. And at the end of the day, we just followed the board.
So that was him talking about why they chose to do what they did with the defensive line. But then he went on to tell us that they're all good at defensive line and with the guys that they got there. David, can you bring me that one?
It's a vital part of our offense, and it's not easy to do. So when you come from a school like Iowa, you're taught the right way. So you understand the communication aspect of it. You're the glue. You're the circuit board of that offensive line, and you help the run game. He's been doing that for a while now. We felt really comfortable with his intelligence and experience to come in and compete. And, you know, we feel really good about Garrett being the starting center. Obviously, we're going to always compete there. But if something were to happen, we feel really good to – we're not going to have a huge letdown for him going in the game and operating at a high level.
David had a slip of the finger on the computer mouse there. That was the wrong cut, which you probably picked up on. This is him again, asked about the defensive line and why they didn't go to the defensive line in either day one or day two of the NFL draft here. David, it's the sorry, one sec. I'll tell you here. It's him on not using any pick on D-line and how the – or no, I'm sorry. I gave – never mind. You know what? I gave you the wrong cut when we were communicating pre-show. That was a copy and paste error on my part. So not an error on David Dykstra, error on Rami Makhlouf. But he basically said that they like what they got. We'll try and find the right one and bring it coming out of the break here when Chris Emma joins me after the break. And I know five defensive ends – went off the board in the first 13 picks of the second round. I understand that. A lot of you might be sitting here saying or texting into the show right now or trying to call the show and saying, Robbie, what did you want them to do at defensive end or defensive line when there was a run on that position at the top of the second round and 13 of those went off the board, with the last one being Zion Young to the Ravens at number 45, 12 picks ahead of the Bears. I know. I was following. I understand. How about instead of trading back, which they did, to get an extra fifth-round pick and then drafting a center after you already traded for one, you take a swing and trade up and take one of those five guys that were taken in the second round of the NFL draft ahead of where you went. And I know they have their own evaluations. They have their own board. They have their own I understand that. And they maybe didn't like any of those guys. Man, you need to do something there. You need to take a swing at somebody and do something there. You are not good enough on the defensive line. You simply aren't. And I don't know how we've gone through the entire first wave of free agency and the first 2 days of the draft and not address that. I can't wrap my head around that. And there's no way that I thought this is where we'd be sitting and this is the conversation we'd be having on April 25th and day three of the draft, that no one of significance has been taken or added in any way, shape, or form to help that defensive line be something better than 27th against the run and 31st in total pressure. That's I can't even start to understand how that happens and how we got here. This is not what I expected when this offseason began. Some texts that have come in, and I'll get to your calls here in a second, at 312-644-6767. 847 says, Thomas, as a good kickoff returner, is a necessity with their defense. They're going to receive a ton of kickoffs. Another one from the 847. Poles could have moved back, got all the same players a round or two later, and picked up those same picks for next year. And from the 815, Packers and Vikings both bolstering their D in a huge way. Bears, no effing clue what they're doing. Keep the text coming. Keep the calls coming. I do have Chris Emma joining me in just a second. You know what, David? Let me quick get in our guy Paul, who's on the south side, before we talk with Chris Emma and see what he has to say about days one and two of the draft. Paul, you're on the score. What's up, man? What you got? Oh, Paul dropped off, and you know what? We should probably just get to a break anyways and check in with Chris Emma, who, you know, covers the Bears for 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. He will join me, Rami Makhlouf, next on day three of draft coverage right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 104.3 The Score.
Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun. An army hung on her every word.
My champions, I have sold my chariot on Carvana. 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it. Tonight, we feast. An offer you can feast on. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Back with more Day 3 draft coverage on Sports Radio. 104.3 The Score. Here's Rami Makhlouf.
Follow up to Kirk's question. So you don't get an offensive tackle, defensive line. So what's your hope or what's your plan at those spots right now?
Yeah, so at the defensive line position, you know, Book's coming along. We have Dio, Sweat, Shamar. I feel good about those guys. Obviously, we have one more day, so we continue to add. But like with that group is and what they're becoming, and we feel like there's some developmental upside. And like I said yesterday, I think year two in the system, we'll be able to take the next step. O-line wise, we have, you know, open competition at tackle. Guys that have played a lot of football, and we feel confident that those guys will compete and the best guy will win at that left tackle position. And then obviously we feel really good about what Ozzie did before he got injured. And we like where he's at in his recovery. So again, we got another day to continue to add. Multiple ways to add throughout training camp and the spring training camp and then the season. So again, we follow the board. It's hard to go into a draft and just start picking at your needs and hopping around the board and letting all the good guys, you know, go by just because of that. It doesn't play out very well in the long haul. So we stuck to the board. Every class is going to be different. And like I said, when you're at the back of the round, it's a little bit different than being at the, you know, top 5, top 10 picks, and I'll trade that any day.
That there, of course, Ryan Poles after day two of the NFL draft and going 2 days without addressing the defensive line or the hole at left tackle, something I didn't even get to in the first segment of the show. Your thoughts welcome throughout the show. I'm here with you until 3 o'clock. Judson Richards will take the show, take the reins after that, and take you right up to Cubs baseball as they take on the Dodgers. 312-644-6767 is how you can get in on the conversation. Just after we went to break, the Bears did make their pick in round four at pick 124, and they took Malik Muhammad, a cornerback out of Texas. Just a quick rundown on Malik Muhammad before I bring Chris Emma in on the conversation. 6 feet, 182, ran a 4.4 240 from Dane Brugler's The Beast draft guide. Strengths above average height and length for the position. Quickly gets up to speed out of turns. Plant and go quickness for quick redirects. Smart deciphering routes from off coverage, which allows him to stay on top. Not shy throwing his hands to jam receivers backward at the line. Did a nice job minimizing coverage penalties. Has springs in his calves to elevate and make plays on the ball. Triggers quickly as a run defender and looks to get busy. Hates to come off the field. Those are your strengths on Malik Muhammad, cornerback out of Texas, taken by the Bears here in the fourth round. Joining me now to talk about the Bears and their selections in this year's NFL draft, he of course covers the Bears for The Score, 670thescore.com, and our friends over at WBBM. Always a pleasure to welcome in Chris Emma. Emma, how are you this afternoon, my man? Do we have Chris Emma?
Muhammad, nope. Come on down.
Oh, there he is. There's Chris Emma. I'm sorry. What were you saying, Chris? I missed that.
You get a guy with springs in those calves, you feel pretty good about it. So Malik Muhammad, I like that description. Bring him in. Let's go.
I love NFL draft terminology. Like, if there's one thing that I love about the NFL draft, it's all
That's one of our favorites.
It's all the draft-isms, springy, twitchy, you know what I mean? High floor, low ceiling, all that stuff. Emma, am I misguided? We can get into some of the picks themselves. Am I misguided in being disappointed the way that this thing has fallen so far and not addressing the defensive line in any way, shape, or form, whether it was a run stopper or an edge rusher? Because those were both things that defensive line could use right now.
I don't want to call you misguided, Rami, but I just say, like, it's going to be fine. I think they trust what they have coming back. It's pretty clear. They've said it all along. Look, they're looking at the incumbents, and Grady Jarrett, who had a knee scope done last season, for him to come back and be more of the Grady Jarrett we've seen in the past. For Shamar Turner, who's coming off the torn ACL, to have an offseason of development and step back in. And Dio Dangbo to prove the doubters wrong and to be a productive piece of this defense. And you go all down the line for Austin Booker to overcome what was an injury riddled first half of his last season and to be the guy you saw down the stretch run. They see the upside in this defensive line with the guys coming back and say, we feel good about this here. Beyond that, like, the draft is not about filling positional needs. That's what free agency is for. You had an opportunity to do it then, and it lends credence to what I just said, which is that they believe in the guys coming back. You get really silly and can often get yourself fired if you pick best positional need available versus best player available. And especially in this draft where there's kind of this odd disparity between draft boards, and it's not super strong here as you go into day two and day three. So you can get yourself in a lot of trouble by forcing a pick saying we need a defensive lineman here. Like, go get the best guy available. And I know it doesn't really satisfy Bears fans because you look to this next season with win now urgency, but they feel really good about their chances here coming back and being that team to beat in the North.
Okay, so I think we have some common ground here, Emma, because I said, like, my critiques of this draft and my displeasure in this draft are not entirely about this draft. They're in the context of the offseason as a whole and the fact that they haven't addressed that defensive line, whether it was in free agency or in the first 2 days of the draft. And you agree with me that they could have done it at least in free agency, if not here in one of the last 2 days and four picks that they've made.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, this goes back to just the confidence that the Bears have in this group. Ryan Poles, I remember asking him at the Combine in February, do you need to overhaul, essentially what I was asking him, is do you need to overhaul your defensive line and get a bunch of new starters in there? And he said, A, it wasn't going to be feasible with the cap room to make that kind of big swing, and B, they felt really good about the guys I just mentioned. Like, they felt really confident in that. I'll put this back in you, Robbie, here. Like, Cam Jordan is still out there, and then as you get through the draft, draft. I think he's going to be looking for a suitor. The door's closed on his time in New Orleans. That might be an ideal option if he wants to reunite with Dennis Allen. And you bring him in there, maybe you feel a lot better about the way that this offseason has looked and what that defensive line depth goes. But ultimately, the success of this defensive front is going to come down to the emergence of a Booker and Turner and Nodengbo. And getting the pass rush coming from those guys and having those waves of different options coming at you and making a disruptive difference for this defense.
Yeah, I'd be good with – I think Cam Jordan would be good. And I wasn't even looking for necessarily somebody to come in and you know, take the top spot on the depth chart on the defensive line, just – and whether it was in free agency or in the draft, somebody who could come in and be part of the rotation and maybe be an improvement on those guys, but certainly be an improvement on what you have at the lower end of the depth chart and make those guys at the top of the depth chart just a little bit better by having a better rotation and fresher legs out there on the field, Emma.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, I understand the idea. Like, Sam Roush is a guy who's exciting when you see what he can bring to this team and what Ben Johnson can utilize from. That's just a pure trust Ben Johnson pick. But, like, it's really unsatisfying when you're sitting there at the top of the third round and you're taking a third tight end. I understand why Bears fans are up in arms saying, what are you doing here in this spot? But, again, you trust the scouting evaluations that got you through this breakthrough season last year and winning the NFC North. And, like I said, above all, you trust Ben Johnson in this case here. And this is a guy who is a weapon for them. Logan Jones, who, hey, I don't think he's going to be the starter week one, but he's going to be the starter at some point as your starting center for the long term. You love the upside of it. Again, it's not sexy win now moves that get you excited about 2026, but that's not what the draft is for. And they feel really good about the long-term goal, to take the North and never give it back part. That's what they feel really confident about here, is adding guys who can be long-term building blocks for this team.
Yeah, they're more worried about the never give it back part. They've taken the North. Now they're addressing the never give it back part with a look at the long game and the long run, talking with Chris Emma, who covers the Bears for 670 The Score, 670thescore.com, and our friends over at WBBM. And you said, like, maybe Logan Jones is not the starter day one, but he looks like your starter of the future at the center position at the very least. You brought up Sam Roush. What do you think his selection there in the third round means for Cole Kmet and his future beyond 2026 with the Bears, as he did renegotiate the contract to free up some cap space? So it looks like he's in the fold for 2026. But does he have something to worry about? Do Bears fans have something to worry about when it comes to Cole Kmet beyond this coming season?
Yeah, we'll see what the future holds beyond this season. But obviously, by restructuring that contract, he's here. He's in Chicago for this season. And Ryan Poles kind of said that outright. He also just pointed to the notion of, look, like, Ben Johnson wants these three tight ends in the mix. And there's a lot of examples of a guy who was really unheralded last year in Durham Smythe, who made a big difference in run blocking, in this offensive identity, in the extension of the offensive line that you had of that tight end group. And they lost him at free agency, but they didn't pick Sam Roush to necessarily replace him. He's just going to happen to play that role and wear many other hats for this team. This is a guy they love. Like, this is somebody who's a versatile tight end who can play inline and outside. He can run block, get his hand in the dirt. Really smart, cerebral player, obviously, coming out of Stanford. Another computer science major like Ben Johnson, so I'm curious to hear what their discussions are like on that front. Two guys who are wired the same way and love the game of football. Sam Roush walks right by me here down to the PNC Center at Hallis Hall. Like, look at this, is a big dude, and this is a guy who's built to play this tight end position for many years to come here.
He just walked past you right now, Emma, as I was
right
asking.
On through.
Wow, is that why you were speaking so glowingly of him? You want him to hear any of the traits that are in the cons? You don't want to give out any of the negatives when it comes to Sam Roush because he's 6'4" and he was walking right past you.
Big old dude, that's what you want a tight end, right? Yeah, he's got the frame for sure.
When it comes to Xavion Thomas, and I what I said at the start of the show, Emma, I put like a disclaimer and said, take everything that I'm saying with the grain of salt, that none of this is about the guys taken necessarily. It's more about the big picture and the context of this offseason as a whole and what I wanted to see the Bears do in the 2026 offseason. I really like Xavion Thomas and everything that he brings and what he could be in Ben Johnson's offense, but didn't they just bring in Khalif Raymond to be the number three wideout, the speedster, and help out in the return game? What do you think is the role for Xavion Thomas to start in this in Ben Johnson's offense?
I mean, with Ben Johnson's offense and his plans, there's no 1-2-3-4. It's just give me as many weapons as he can do. And when you got a guy who ran a 4-2-8, and he even said he stumbled kind of in that 4-2-8, he could have done better in that. You bring him in. You don't take any hesitation on that. Like, this is a guy who's going to be a dynamic weapon for this offense in role as a rookie, and really a weapon as a returner. They see him as somebody who can exploit these new kickoff rules and be a really dynamic piece of their special teams right out of the gates. Like, I think you can pencil him in as your kickoff returner, somebody who's going to be a home run threat. And the scout, Francis St. Paul, who looked at this kid and really kind of checked the boxes for him, said, this is a guy that a defense has to take notice of every time he's on the field because of that speed. They see him as more sure-handed than I know the cops have made because it was another third-round pick, but you know, Velus Jones, who just did not work out with this team. There were too many inconsistencies there, and I know it's a really dynamic weapon coming out of the SEC in the third round. You can make that comp if you want and get sad about it, but like, this is a guy who's got a lot more upside and a lot more potential for the long term for this team. But right out of the gates, he's going to be a weapon for Ben Johnson. And again, I talked about it with Sam Roush. Like, this pick of Xavion Thomas is a true just trust Ben Johnson pick. He knows what he wants in this offense. He knows what he wants all across the board on this football team, and that is a weapon for him.
I've heard Dane Brugler and others, and they never just come out and make the Velus Jones comparison. They go, I don't want to say Velus Jones, but that's unfair to this kid, right? Just because he's a speedster and he was taken maybe a little bit higher than what most boards had him. That's we shouldn't put that on the kid to compare him to Velus Jones, should we?
Yeah, and look, I chewed back on one thing in terms of the media projections in terms of where Xavion Thomas was going to go, that it kind of diminishes the importance of the special teams value. Sure. And that's something, obviously, the Bears see the high upside on. So, yeah, there's been disparities to where he was projected. But again, a lot of that's just kind of conjecture at this point. This is a guy the Bears really believe in, both in the offensive side and certainly in special teams as well.
One more for you, Emma, and in you know, group chats that I have with Bears fans, friends of mine, or listening to The Score or others break down the Bears draft, they keep like seeming to imply that I should have some level of implicit trust in Ryan Poles. And I don't. Like, I don't. Last year was good, but the previous 3 years were not, and I need more from Ryan Poles to have any sort of level of implicit trust in him. I do have some of that with Ben Johnson. We have 1 year and nothing but good things to trust when it comes to Ben Johnson, and we know he has a lot of say in the draft and who's taken and how things play out. Is it fair if there's one concern about Ben Johnson and his role in the draft? Maybe, just maybe, he's a little too offensive, too offense-obsessed, too offensive-minded as you know, an offensive-minded head coach.
I mean, yes and no. Like, they're building the defense as well. I think Ben Johnson understands you got to be the head coach of both sides. So I would shoot back against that. But to your point on polls, like the skepticism has been warranted. I mean, the first 3 years were rocky, and you can just put that all on Matt Eberflus if you wanted to look what they did last year. But you hope the results are there long term, and that's ultimately the goal for Ryan Poles in building this thing out. I would say the best thing for Ryan Poles is having the direction of Ben Johnson by his side and somebody who knows so with such a conviction what he wants with this roster on offense, on defense, building out this entire thing in his vision and his liking. And I think that guidance has been critical. And Ryan Poles even kind of said to himself that they were able to eliminate a lot of their draft board because they just didn't see certain fits, guys that were going to work out for Ben Johnson on offense, for Dennis Allen on defense. They just wiped them off the board and said, we don't want this guy, period, point blank. Not going to happen here. They have such a firm thought as to what they want and the kind of talented players and character players that they covet here now at Hallis Hall. And that starts and ends with Ben Johnson's influence. So having somebody like Ben Johnson alongside Ryan Poles and Jeff King in that draft room is imperative, and that's going to go a long way. So you saw examples of that last season, not to mention what you saw in roster development and developing each individual player because of this coaching staff. So there's reason to believe that the stock is going up continuously for Ryan Poles because of Ben Johnson and this coaching staff.
When does Dennis Allen get a say on the draft is what I'm wondering. Chris Emma, that is Chris Emma. He, of course, covers the Bears for The Score, WBBM. You can follow him on Twitter at CEmma670. Go check out his work covering the Bears at thescorechicago.com, and I'm sure you'll be hearing him plenty on these airwaves in the coming days, breaking down everything the Bears do. Always appreciate the time and the insight, Emma. Have yourself a great weekend, my man.
Take care.
There's Chris Emma joining us here on day three draft coverage on The Score. Keep the texts coming. We'll squeeze those in between. It's a guest heavy show. Not gonna sugarcoat that. It is a guest heavy show, but we'll squeeze in the text and your thoughts on the draft and your thoughts on my thoughts on the draft. 312-644-6767 is how you can do that. We're gonna start a whip around the NFC North and see how the rest of the division did in this year's draft. Brendan Shabath, morning sports anchor for 97.1 The Ticket. He's going to join me, Rami Makhlouf, next on day three coverage of the draft right here on Chicago Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
If you can make a dish, you can make a signature recipe and showcase it on your beautiful website that you built with Squarespace. And if you can make a stitch, you can make an outfit and put it on your online store that you built with Squarespace. And if you can hit the pose, you can teach the class that they can book on your site that you built with Squarespace. Because whatever your business, you can build it at squarespace.com. Use offer code EMPIRE for 10% off your website or domain.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Gear from MLBShop.com helps you show everyone what team you're with before you even say a word. So people start asking you things locals and fans know, like,
you with the crew?
You from the D?
Where'd you go to high school?
Your dad put you in brown and gold?
You see skins, girl?
You get your Dodger dog?
Siempre 305?
You see Big Dumper 60?
Do you see him put Vladdy in the jacket?
How about 4070?
You see Judges 62?
Shohei's 50-50?
The gear says it all.
Cut from the city. Go to MLBShop.com.
MLB trademarks used with permission.
Back with more day three draft coverage on Sports Radio 104.3 The Score. Here's Rami Makhlouf.
With you till 3 o'clock. And Judson Richards will take over the airwaves at that point. Take you right up to Cubs baseball as they take on the Dodgers today. Keep taking your thoughts on how you feel about the Bears draft thus far. And if you're just tuning in, the Bears with their fourth round selection, they went with a cornerback out of Texas, Malik Muhammad. In case you're just tuning in and missed that news, they will now pick next in the fifth round, 26th pick in the fifth round. And we'll keep you updated and abreast of all and any Bears developments here on day three of the NFL draft. But we do have to check check out the entire landscape. The Bears don't exist in a vacuum, so thought we'd take a quick whip around the NFC North here on day three. Draft coverage on the Score starting up in Detroit. And with our friend Brendan Shabath, morning sports anchor for 97.1, the ticket up there. Brendan, how are you this afternoon, my man?
Rami, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Well, I've been better. I'm not loving this draft for the Bears. I feel like they haven't really done a whole lot to address their greatest needs. You got to like what they did in the first round there in Detroit, though. They addressed a need going and getting Blake Miller, the offensive tackle out of Clemson, for an offensive line that's kind of been falling apart here for the last couple of years.
Yeah, you know, I have to agree with you on Chicago. I was a little confused on what they're doing this year. I was honestly kind of afraid we were going to take Dylan Thiedemann in the first round of safety. That, you know, the Lions have a lot of needs on defense, but safety was definitely not the top of the priority. But yeah, for Detroit taking Blake Miller 17 overall in the first round, everybody went into this draft knowing the Lions needed a tackle and an edge, and probably in that order. I think fans and media here locally would have been okay with either position at 17. But Blake Miller is a good get for Detroit, a guy who missed literally one practice in all 4 years at Clemson, started all 54 games while he was there with the Tigers, all ACC first team the last two seasons. He is going to make them immediately better on the offensive line because, you know, any Bears fans that are familiar with Detroit, we've had a lot of drama with the offensive line of late, a lot of changing. Frank Ragnow retires out of nowhere, and then in the middle of last year he's going to come back, but no, his hamstring is ripped in half, so now he can't. And then Taylor Decker's retirement was in question, and then he's going to come back, but now the team doesn't want him, so now we need a left tackle, we need a center, we needed everything on the offensive line last year. They just piecemealed it together with plumbers and mechanics throughout the season to try to put five guys in a Lions jersey to go out there and try to protect Jared Goff, and it didn't work as they obviously missed the playoffs. But drafting Blake Miller at right tackle allows All-Pro Penei Sewell to switch from right tackle to his usual position at left tackle. And he's probably still going to be an All-Pro, if not pretty darn close, at left tackle. And it means Blake Miller, as a rookie, can compete for a starting spot and, frankly, probably earn it over Larry Borum, who the Lions signed this offseason. But Blake Miller can slot in at his usual spot from college at right tackle. The Lions signed Cade Mays from Carolina as a center in the offseason, and they've got two sophomores from their draft last year in Miles Frazier and Tate Ratledge, who will be their starting guards. Now their offensive line is all an average age of 25. The oldest guy is Penei Sewell. He'll be the leader and the guy that they lean on that front line. And it's an area that, if it's healthy and if it's solid, as we think it can be on paper, the Lions offense can get back to where they were when they were 15-2 and Super Bowl favorites a couple of years ago.
My next question was going to be, does this mean Penei Sewell moves to left tackle? But you got ahead of it and answered that for me already, Brendan Shabath of 97.1, the ticket. So let me jump to the third question that I have on my list here, which is there were two things missing from the Lions last year that they had over the previous years and the successful run that they had, and that was rock-solid offensive line play, but also the offensive coordinator, who is now our head coach here in Chicago, and Ben Johnson. And which one of those do you think they missed most in 2025, that O-line play or the offensive coordinator?
I think they missed the O-line play because the Lions have always been successful. And I say always. They had two good years after hundreds of years of just terrible, terrible results. But under Dan Campbell, the Lions have been successful when they play to their identity. And that really reared its head when Ben Johnson was calling the plays. And everybody likes to look at the flashiness and the trickery and, you know, throwing the ball to Penei Sewell out in the flat. And obviously Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams, Sam Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs with the flashy plays. But the reason the Lions were able to do those trick plays and able to get the ball downfield is because they were dominant in the run game. They had a top five offensive line. They beat you up. They ran it down your throat, and they were able to use that to spread the field. They couldn't do that last year because they couldn't run the ball behind the offensive line. And I think even without Ben Johnson, if you could still get to your identity as a run-first team let Jahmyr Gibbs be explosive and do what he does, run behind guys like Penei Sewell and Blake Miller and Cade Mays. And if you can protect a largely immobile quarterback in Jared Goff, then you can get back to the offensive identity that you had before as a run-first team who's going to put up a lot of points and get close to 30 points per game. If they can do that, even without Ben Johnson, I think they'll be okay. I do miss him, though.
Brendan, I got about a minute left here with you. Just quickly, the day two picks, not only did they address two of those needs that you listed when you came on with me, got two Michigan guys. I'd imagine Lions fans got to like what they did on day two as well.
Yeah, you know, some Lions fans are probably pretty happy about it. I'm a Michigan State graduate, so, you know, whoopee-woo, we got some Wolverines. But no, these are good guys. Michigan was solid on defense. I maybe would have preferred some other guys, but a lot of guys, guys with some upside, and Derek Moore opposite Aiden Hutchinson, two Michigan men on the defensive line. The Lions needed an edge to combat some of the offensive schemes against Aiden Hutchinson, and they got that.
You're the first of the guests around the NFC North. Just real quickly, Brendan, stack the North for me with what we know now through free agency and the first 2 days of the draft. How do you stack up the North?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's so hard with how topsy-turvy this division has been lately. I still am pretty scared of the Packers next year. I think Jordan Love is still continuing to grow. I'm going to put Packers, Bears, Lions, Vikings in that order.
That is Brendan Shabath, morning sports anchor for 97.1 The Ticket up there in Detroit, my guest for the last few minutes on the guest hotline. Brendan, appreciate the time and the insight, man. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of the draft.
Yeah, thanks, Rami. You too.
There he is, Brendan Shabath joining me. We'll keep the swing around the NFC North going next. He mentioned he has Green Bay at the top of the division. We'll talk to our guy up in Green Bay, Jacob Westendorf. He covers the Packers for SI. He'll join me next, and I will squeeze in more of your text and your thoughts on the Bears draft and your thoughts on my thoughts on the Bears draft. All that coming up next. It is day three draft coverage right here on Chicago Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, absolutely refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhance game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.